And now it's time for Castle Country FYI. Today I have Debbie Pappas, Director of Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation. How are you?
I'm doing well, Ro.
I'm glad you came in because you guys have been busy.
We have. We are moved into our new facility, which is still in the Carbonville area, but on the helper end of everything. And we are building our little hearts out, and we need some help from the public. If people have that talent, we could sure use you. For the retired person, this would be perfect, because if they're bored and they're thinking, geez, I would like to do something, but I just don't want to do 8 hours a day, it's great. I mean, just a couple hours here and there every week or two, that's great. We're trying to get our enclosures for the wildlife finished. We're kind of starting at square one again. We had a group come out from New York that built an enclosure for us. We call it a mew. And they were wonderful. They drove out on their own dime and stayed here for almost six days, and then built the enclosure and left. And it was wonderful. They're also wildlife rehabilitators, and they realized the need was very important. I mean, we can't take in wildlife if we don't have places to put them. It's not like you can stick them in a bedroom. That's a no-no. So they came out and took care of this, and so we had one of our needs met, and we had some local people come out and stain it for us so that we wouldn't lose it as soon as it was built. And we're still looking for people that can help us do more of the same.
So now that you're in your new location, how does it differ from where you were at?
Well, we have a lot more room. We have triple the space, and we're going to have two hospitals. We're in the process of finishing a small one, and the larger one will come down further down the line, but we have the building. That's why we purchased the land where we're at, is not only for the land, but the existing buildings that were already there that were absolutely phenomenal. But we can wait on that one for a little while. But we've got all the space that we're probably ever going to need. And if need be, we can purchase property on either side of us in the future. The lady we bought the land from also owns property on the side, and we can buy that from her. So we've got a lot of space, and the wildlife, everything is secure for, you know, as long as need be. The board of directors, my board has said, long after I'm gone, they want to make sure that this still exists, because we have a huge need in our area. We cover all of eastern Utah, clear down to Bluff, and we cover a lot of the Salt Lake and Utah County areas as well. So we cover more geographical space than any wildlife rehabilitator in the state of Utah.
So tell us a little bit about what you cover. Like, if you get a phone call, what does it usually consist of?
Usually, so the most common calls are an eagle's been hit on the highway. But we get, you know, owls get hit. People find all kinds of birds of prey and songbirds in their yards, particularly in the spring, that there's something not right about them. Some of them are ill, but we also work with mammals as well. People think that we only work with birds, and that's not correct. We work with anything that the state allows us to, allows any wildlife rehabilitator to work with. But our primary work is with birds, and primarily with eagles, and that's simply because in the area where we are, we have such a wonderful, if people just spent time looking up, I mean, we have such cool wildlife in this area, and this is prime golden eagle territory, and golden eagles are in trouble, and so people really need to appreciate what we have. The state of Utah has finally admitted that we have an issue here, and everybody's working to try to find out what is the cause of the numbers dropping. Is it one thing? Is it a culmination of several things? I tend to believe it's several things. But we do have a problem, so that every single one eagle matters. It's not a population thing. It's a whole one single bird makes a huge difference when we lose it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, so not only are you looking for volunteers to come and help do some building and all that, but yes. can volunteers come and help if that you need help with feeding or caring for the birds? Or is that more along the lines for your workers?
Well, it is for the workers, but all of our workers are volunteers. No one gets paid doing what we do. There's no wildlife rehabilitator on the planet gets paid. But anyways, so if somebody would like to learn and come and help us, it's a process. It's not an event. They've got to be willing to commit, because if we're going to commit to that person, we're going to put in a lot of training. We don't want to see people that just show up, oh, I want to look at the wildlife, and then you don't see them after a week. Our time is too important and too precious to be investing time with somebody like that. We need somebody who's in it for the long haul. My main volunteer, she's actually on my permits, my state and federal permits, and she's been with us now for over 10 years. So we need people like that. We need people that are committed, that realize that, yes, it's a wonderful thing to go to a release and watch them leave after you've put in the work. But there's cleaning, there's cleaning up gross stuff, there's work. I mean, it is work. That's the nature of the job.
Say someone's not able to come and donate their time to come and help. What other ways could they help?
Well, we always take financial donations, because it takes us about $2,500 a month to run this operation. It's not small potatoes. It's huge. And in the spring, it's even more than that, because we're always busy with the babies. So we are always looking for cash donations. We're always looking for food, as far as, so say for instance, we go through a lot of deer meat. So if people have some old deer meat, and we don't want things that are 5 and 10 years old. If you're not going to eat it, we don't want to feed it to our wildlife either. But if you've got something, you know, in your freezer, you've got more than you can use, please call us. The same with fish. We take in great blue herons all the time, and we need fish for them, because that's their food source. So any kind of wild game meat, we're always looking for. We're not interested in anything, though, that's been shot with lead. We don't want to take a patient and make them worse with the lead issue. So if you use tungsten or copper, that would be great. Or even if you know how to dress out a deer, we frequently have Highway Patrol and the division bring us deer that have been hit on the highway, and we would love somebody to help us take care of that deer and put it in the freezer for us.
Oh, that's a great idea. I never even thought of that.
Yeah, occasionally we have volunteers that can do that for us. Right now we don't. And so we would love that kind of help. A phone number that we could call and say, hey, we got one in. Could you come down and dress it out for us?
Yeah, that's great. That's anything other than like food, what other kind of items could be helpful for your
Anything as far as building, if you are in the construction industry and you have access to wood, different types of wood, whether it be 2x4s or sheets of wood, we can always use those. Paint, stain, any type of that. We're really also looking for people that are really good at landscaping, because we've got, like I said, this brand new piece of property, and we're trying to get everything set up correctly. We'd like to get some trees in the back. The last piece of property, we had it perfect. It was so shady and nice, and now this is a brand new piece of property. There's trees surrounding the entire property, but nothing on it.
Right. Right, so that could do some landscaping maybe in the spring.
Or if you have a tree you want to pull out and you're thinking, God, I hate to pull this thing and just let it go, bring it to us and put it in our ground. We would love it. And fruit trees particularly, because we work a lot with robins in the spring. And boy, I'm sure going to miss my mulberry trees, because those robins loved the mulberries, and we had two of them on our other property.
It sounds like you're fitting into your new surroundings down there. A lot more room, to do what it is you guys do with those birds, and you do some wonderful things there. Now, if anyone wants to make any donations of any sorts, whether it's cash, dog kennels, crates, food, building materials, offer their services to come and build or paint or electrician stuff, who do they need to call?
Well, they can call me on my cell phone, which is 650-3441, and I'm usually attached to that. And if you can't remember that and can't write it down real quick, just call the Division of Wildlife, DWR, down here. We work together all the time. That's primarily where all the animals come from. And so they know how to get a hold of me. I'm on their speed dial.
Debbie, I appreciate you coming in and talking to us. Congrats on the new location.
Thank you.
This is great. You now have something a little bit bigger.
Absolutely.
All right. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I wish people look up and appreciate what we have here. And also keep your bird feeders filled this time of year. Birds are having a hard time, and water is just as important as food for them.
All right, there's your winter tips, and I'm sure Debbie will be back in the spring to give us some more tips on some baby birds, because we've talked about that. All right, this has been a Castle Country FYI.